similarities exist between the two. The faithful life is a journey towards a destination always in sight, but never quite within reach. No direct line leads from here to there. As Christians, we travel a road that stretches from faith to faith. It takes us on a dynamic excursion through an ever-changing landscape, stretching from high mountains to deep valleys, passing through dreadful storms, followed by moments of absolute peace and joy. And none of those places is the destination. They are just steps on our journey from faith to faith. But we can be reassured that we will eventually find ourselves walking on the streets of gold as long as we continually pursue a life of faith. Then and only then will the work of faith in the believer's life be complete. But until that day, just like Paul said, we must continually walk faith to faith. We walk by faith, faith to faith. Rome and all things in Rome stood at the center of the world back in that time, in the time that Paul was at. They were the influential city, the seat of power. They kind of defined what was cool, what was not cool, what was allowed, what was not allowed. They were a trendsetter in a way. However, their manicured exterior of power and pride and political intrigue barely concealed the fact that it was a city consumed with idolatry, corruption, and moral decay. Rome was not too different than the modern world we see today. Not even the present world we see today. And the church in Rome felt many of the same societal pressures as the present day church. And so we go back to our verse and we see what Paul is writing to this church in Rome. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul started his letter to Rome, one of the first 16 verses, stating that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He wasn't just saying, hey, I believe the message. But he was also saying, I'm not going to conform to the worldview of Rome. What they're trying to say is what we should focus on. The Romans valued power over sacrifice. But Paul didn't care about that. He's like, this gospel is important. He knew the gospel was the power of God unto salvation. He knew the gospel was what saves us. All of us, Jews, Greeks, and then as Peter said, all who are afar off. He knew the gospel was the good news. In fact, when you read in the Greek, the Greek definition of that word, gospel, is good news. And as a verb, if you use that word as a verb in Greek, it means to proclaim the good news. So Paul was not ashamed of the gospel first because he said, this is really good news. I don't need to be ashamed of something that's good news. Why would we be ashamed of this? I know it doesn't match what the Romans think is important or what they're teaching or their way to, like, be good, but this is really good news. I'm not going to be ashamed of something that's good news. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, this is Paul, he's explaining. So we know the gospel is the good news, but some people say, well, what is the gospel, right? So Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached to you, which you received, and you in which you stand, and by which also you are saved, and if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you. So that was all him saying. I'm going to tell you the gospel. You've all heard it, blah, 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 blah. And here it is. I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He's saying, this is the gospel. He starts out, I declare to you the gospel. The gospel is Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is how God saved humanity from sin, by Jesus dying on a cross. He said, I'm not going to be about compromising this gospel, even to Rome, even to people who want to make it simpler or friendlier or cleaner. Well, you know, that's a lot. You know, you're asking us to follow this person. He's like, no, this is the gospel. It's good news. It seems a little weird maybe, but we're going to follow this to letter. We're not going to water it down. Because he knew that there was power in this gospel to completely change people's lives. Remember, he starts out saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then he says, for it is the power of God. This gospel is the power that God uses for salvation. The power of God operates when we declare and apply the death, the burial, and the resurrection in our life. So Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of this gospel for two reasons. One, it's good news. Why would we be ashamed of good news? This is really awesome. And he's saying, there's power in this gospel. I don't have to be ashamed of this. It might not be what the world is talking about. They might have a softer, easier way to explain how to know God and get to heaven. He's like, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it's really good news, and there's power when we follow it. Scripture speaks of salvation occurring in the past and the present and in the future. In the past, God did the work. Jesus died on the cross. That was before our time. In the present, those of us who hear the gospel and obey the gospel, we're saved from our sins because of the work that Christ has already completed. And those that are presently saved or will be saved are still looking forward to the manifestation of their complete and full salvation in eternal life with Jesus Christ. The power of salvation can cover our past, our present, and our future. And so, church, when we maybe sometimes you've been in a position where you're like, maybe I'm a little nervous to share my faith, or I'm a little bit nervous to share the gospel. But when we look at it from Paul's perspective, he's just saying we don't need to be ashamed because it's great news and there's power in it. Don't be ashamed of that. We don't need to be afraid to share the gospel. It can spur us to view the world differently and compel us to share the gospel. When we start seeing that this gospel has power and this world has needs, it's like, wow, yeah, I'm not ashamed to share this. I got what they need. It's like I'm like the ultimate salesman. In verse 17, it says, for in it, I'm going to read again for 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. So all who believe, right? For in it, this is 17 now, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, he brings up a term here in early Romans. He talks about the righteousness of God. Righteousness is the condition that is acceptable to God. Some people say it's being in right standing with God. That seems a little legalistic to me. Not in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, it's a little wordy for me. I just like the condition that's acceptable to God. Like, I can be in a condition that God accepts. Because we know that God is perfect and holy, and sin cannot come near God. And so to be in a position that is acceptable to God, there has to be no sin. It has to be perfect. It has to be righteous, right? And so throughout all of history, thanks Adam and Eve, none of us were able to do that. None of us were able to be righteous. Only Jesus was in the right condition to become the sacrifice needed. He was perfect. He knew no sin. He was a condition that was acceptable to God. He was a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. If you go through the Old Testament, it's really fun. Go read through all the times that God rejected their sacrifices. It's pretty crazy. What makes me even more blows my mind is when you read through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, which are, I know, the most exciting books for you, right? He's talking about all these sacrifices and how to kill a goat and all this weird stuff. And he's like, sacrifices were clearly important to God. They were clearly important. And then throughout the rest of the Old Testament, there's so few sacrifices that are acceptable. In fact, the first death in the Bible happens after an unacceptable sacrifice, Cain and Abel. And yet, he says, I'm looking for a condition that's acceptable, and Jesus comes along. Jesus was in the right condition to become the sacrifice. Church, we are not righteous. We cannot make ourselves righteous. We are not born righteous, right? Thankfully, Jesus is righteous, and his righteousness that he brought, his condition of acceptance to God, makes us able to be righteous. His righteousness is enough for us. Even though I'm sinful, I attach myself to the gospel. I declare and apply. I follow. I don't actually die on a cross and all that, but I repent just like death. I'm buried in baptism. Baptism is fully going underwater. And I am rising to a new life. I receive God's Spirit inside of me. He shares his righteousness with all those who faithfully obey the Bible. It says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. God's righteousness will not allow him to overlook sin. He can't say, Casey, I'm perfect and I'm righteous, but your sin can come near me. I can't allow that near me. It doesn't work. It's oil and water. It's light and darkness. Sin is what separates us from God. It's what makes us not righteous. And so Jesus, who was righteous and who was acceptable, he took our sins, this is the gospel, and the penalty for those sins, which is death, and so now we can become righteous. That's what Paul's saying. We never have a chance to become righteous, but when we follow the gospel, the act that he did in dying on the cross and taking our sins and taking death, the penalty for our sin, we can now become righteous progressively. Step by step, from faith to faith. That's why it says, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's like that treasure hunt, right? You find a little clue, and then you find another little clue, and slowly you're moving towards the goal of that treasure. And as when we first apply and declare the gospel of God in our lives, and God's Spirit starts to live inside of us, maybe it happened for you, I don't know a lot of people, but the next day, we're typically not immediately changed and everything's different. You feel different. You feel like you have power. You feel like you have the ability to do more and that things are going to happen in your life, right? You see the positivity, but it's in walking in that gospel that the righteousness is revealed. It is in walking in that gospel step by step, faith to faith, that we gradually learn, I learned this. I'm going closer to God. I learned this. And you look back and you're like, wow, God is making me righteous. He's changing my life. He's removing those sins and fleshly desires and thoughts that I had back here where I had them all the time. Little by little, step by step, God is revealing them because I am following the gospel. I am obeying his way of doing things. And so we can become righteous step by step from faith to faith. And so we can see the righteousness of God revealed in our own lives as we live and walk and grow with him. In accepting and obeying the gospel, once again, the good news with power. I like that definition. Our lives begin to be changed. We now have power to live above the sin that held us captive. We now have the power to live, but we still got to choose to live the right way. It's not like I just, well, God, I'm going to live whatever way I want and trust that the sin's not going to be there. No, I still have to choose to live the right way. But we must walk by faith. That's why at the end of that verse he says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Walking by faith helps us as we travel through valleys. Walking by faith helps us as we travel through mountains and wildernesses and even still waters. It's in taking the daily steps. I think sometimes we have this, at least for me, I always had this wrong idea of what faith was. But I've learned over the years that faith is saying, I don't always understand what might happen here or whatever situation I'm going through here. I might not know the right thing, but I know God's word tells me to do this, and so I'm going to take that step. But it doesn't always make sense taking this step. It might even go against what the world would tell me to do. Let me give you an example. This is just one example. Somebody, let me use my wife because it's not true, and that way I'm not pointing. Somebody offends me and hurts me greatly. No, I know it's not happened to anybody here. We're Christians. We would never do that. Somebody offends me and hurts me greatly. And the world today would say, we need to fix the world so that never happens again. Now, it's not right that she would offend me, right? Because the Bible says, woe, woe to the offender, right? But what does Jesus say about offenses? He said, they're going to come. He also says, forgive them that do wrong to you. Well, no, that's not sense. I need justice. Oh, we're using a funny word here in society. I'm sorry, it's 2024. We're going to use it. I need justice for what was done to me. And what does Jesus say? He's like, no. He says, turn the other cheek. He says, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute. He couldn't and persecute you. He couldn't have had that more like solid. But you don't know what they did to me, Brother Peter. It doesn't matter. And I know this is a rough thing to say because I know there are hurts and there's traumas and there's things that have happened in people's lives. And Jesus is saying, that's really bad and I'm really sorry and that happens. But I need you to take a step in the direction of me. And the step in the direction of me is forgiveness. But Jesus, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how bad it was. And Jesus is like, I died on a cross for sins I didn't commit. And as I'm hanging there, I say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And so walking by faith, step by step, is little by little making that decision that says, this aligns with God's word. Maybe not the world, maybe not my brain, maybe not my heart, maybe not my wife, but I'm going to follow this step. And then faith by faith, my life is changed. Faith by faith, I'm different. Faith by faith, the righteousness of God becomes revealed in my life because I am following the gospel of Christ. Faith by faith, the Holy Spirit is working inside of me and I'm getting love and I'm getting joy and I'm getting peace and long-suffering, all the fruits of the Spirit, because I'm choosing to walk by faith in following God's word. And so we can see that righteousness revealed. And sometimes it's easier. Sometimes you might say, things are great. I'm rich and increased with goods. We still got to walk by faith. Sometimes we're not. There's financial difficulties. There's relational difficulties. There's job difficulties. There's things going on in the world. You might be in a valley. You might be in a storm. You might be in a wilderness. But it's still wherever I'm at. The situation doesn't matter. I'm going to take the step of faith in following God's word and what he tells me to do in these situations. Walking by faith helps us get through the valleys and the mountains and the wildernesses and even the still waters. We grow and learn as we walk by faith, and the righteousness of God is revealed as we walk by faith. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is good news. It is the power of God to salvation, and in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. If we will take this gospel and live by this gospel, we will become righteous. It's revealed from faith to faith. He says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, as it is written. Paul took this from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. And it says this. It says, behold the proud. That's rough. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. We talked yesterday, Sister Dowdy, the Dowdies are here this weekend in the marriage sessions we had. She brought up a verse and we talked about it at the end as well. It says, for there is a way that seems right unto a man, and the end of that is death. This verse is saying, the proud... Can I put these verses together here? The person who thinks they know what they're doing, the person who thinks their way will work, the person who thinks that my thoughts, you know, the gospel, it's there. I think I can, I don't need to do it all. I think this way will work. Just trust me, I'll get this way. It ends in death. It ends in sin. It ends right back where we started as unrighteous, not acceptable condition to God. But it's in turning and walking by faith in God's word that the righteousness of God is revealed. And that's where he's saying the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk was a prophet who was saddened and frustrated at the condition of his nation. And so he called out to God, God, these people are stupid. Maybe he didn't say those words, but. And what's interesting is God did not promise immediate relief. He'd be like, immediately, boom, done. Awesome. Everybody's just now. But he said, it will come to pass. I'm going to do something for this people, and it will come to pass. Church, a large part of walking by faith is waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. I keep standing over here because this analogy works for me, but I'm not talking about waiting, like standing here and waiting. I'm talking about saying, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I'm going to continue to walk by faith while everything else is going on. It's not, hey, I'm not going to start walking by faith until I hear it from God. No, we know to walk by faith. Waiting on God is walking by faith and waiting for God to move or open the doors that he wants open in your life. We all like to read and quote about the promises of God. You all probably have it on your refrigerator, Jeremiah 29:11. It's almost like a thing now. I know the plans I have for you. Plans. You know, they even had the prayer of Jabez. We all like to talk about the promises of God, but we don't talk about the processes of God. Because the promises, like the treasure, is revealed faith to faith. The promises of love and joy and peace, the promises of an abundant life, that all happens as we walk in faith, as we put ourselves in the process of God. I always tell the story of Naaman in the Old Testament, and he wanted to be healed because there was a sin, and the prophet said, well, just go. Actually, fun fact, the prophet didn't tell him that. The prophet had his servant tell him that. So the servant tells him, just go dunk in the river, dirty Jordan River, 7 times. And he's like, why would I do that? I just want the promise of healing. Just heal me. And Naaman's servant asks him, he goes, if he had asked you to do some really great thing, you would have done it. He'd asked you to give you millions of dollars and 50 horses. You would have been like, yeah, great, give me the promise. He's like, but are you willing to get in the process to be cleansed? Are we willing to get a little bit dirty, to do something that doesn't make sense, to dip in the Jordan River 7 times? That's the process that God is having for us. And we don't find our healing. We don't find this righteousness. It's revealed as we follow God's word, regardless of how weird it seems at times. God knows I'm not calling his word weird, just so you guys all know, okay? I'm not going to get struck here. But sometimes we feel that way as we're reading it. Like, God, did you really ask me to forgive somebody? Yeah, I am. That's weird, God. They really hurt me. Yeah. That's just one of, like, hundreds of things as you start looking through the Bible and you start realizing God's telling me this. Someday, we follow this process. Someday, we will see the promise. And I'm not talking, there's kind of two things here. I am talking about the promise of heaven, but I'm also talking about the promise of your life being changed step by step in following God. And I've heard many testimonies from you here, whether it's a long life testimony where little by little happened, or just you're starting to say, I'm going to take this step, and God starts to reveal himself to you, and your life starts to get changed. Man, that promise begins to be revealed. And so I will put my faith in Christ. Church, are you ready to put your faith in Christ? Are you ready to put your faith in his work on the cross, in the good news, because it's the power of God to salvation? It's not just faith alone that matters. It's the object of our faith that matters. It's not just, I have faith, I'm good. I have faith to take steps, I'm good. No, it's, I have faith to take steps in following God. God is the object of our faith. We must put our faith in Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Church, salvation cannot come through works. We are saved by grace through faith. But this saving faith produces good works. this saving faith that says, I'm going to keep following God's word, it produces good works in our lives. It says in Ephesians 2:10, the very next verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. Church, God is working on us. When we choose to take the steps of faith, it says we are being worked on by God and created in Christ Jesus. I walked away from my verse. Created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. He's working on us as we follow him in faith, and he is working on us to do good works. And this is my favorite part of the verse, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I know in my life there's been times when I've just felt like I'm too far gone. Things that I've made some really bad decisions. And this verse was a promise to me that God, if I'll let God work on me, I'll change. But more importantly, God had a plan for me before I even started sinning. He knew I was going to sin, and he said, beforehand, I got a plan for Peter. We're going to do something. And he has that for every single one of you. We are the thing God is working on. And as he perfects us, he produces good works. When we come to God in faith and repent of our sins in faith and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in faith and are filled with the Holy Ghost through faith, our new birth is the product of faith from beginning to end. Our salvation results in the works of faith in our lives. He talks about the just living by faith. The word justification means justification makes us just as if we had never sinned. We are not justified by obeying 613 commandments or laws that were in the Old Testament. We can never be justified. Galatians 3:11 says, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. But Paul says, the just person is the one that's walking by faith. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and all are subject to the death penalty because of our sin. But there's good news. Jesus Christ bore our sins and the judgment for those sins when he died on the cross as an acceptable sacrifice. And so now all of us sinners can be counted as righteous because he paid the penalty for our sins. Church, our response to the gospel, our response to the gospel is our faith and obedience that result in salvation and produce a life that glorifies God. Our response to the gospel is our faith and obedience. We respond to the gospel by faith and obedience. And those result in salvation and producing a life that glorifies God. The word faith and the word works in the Bible are not enemies. They're actually a lot closer than we think. We are not saved by works, but we are saved unto good work. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, the good news, we are free to live in a way that glorifies and honors him. In the Hebrew Bible, in the Torah, there's the Shema. It said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you shall write it upon your hands, right? All this. But there's a word here that we need to remember. Hear, O Israel. The first word, hear. That word in the Hebrew language is not just hear. Did you know that there's no word in the Hebrew language for the word obey? Because when the Hebrews hear the word hear, they know it means to obey. And so if we just say, yes, I heard the gospel, I'm good. No, it says hear and obey. They mean the exact same thing. You'd be like, well, why would you hear without obeying? If you talk to somebody that speaks Hebrew, you'd be like, well, yeah, we know what that means. Watch out, there's a rock. Well, I heard you and I'm obeying. I'm moving out of the way. That's walking by faith. And so this idea that, well, I'm just going to, it's just faith, and I don't have to do anything. No, we still gotta follow God's word, right? We're still walking by faith. We're still following his words. We're still doing the things he's asked us to do. But it's walking by faith that we are saved. Let's all stand this morning. Let's take advantage, church, of the work that Jesus did for us at the cross and is doing in our hearts through the Holy Spirit so that we can live above sin. We have an opportunity to walk by faith, to not be ashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for that it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's walk by faith, church. Whatever you're going through, whatever's happening, good, bad, still waters, mountains, valleys, wildernesses, enemies, let's walk by faith. Let's follow what God's word has. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, or you have this whole gospel idea is new to you, I would encourage you to follow it, to repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost and to start to have your life changed. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your good news, God, and the power that comes with it. God, Lord, speak into our hearts and our minds this morning, God. Let this word be settled in our hearts, God. As we move forward, God, let us be challenged and encouraged that we can and should walk by faith. God, I pray for this community and this church, God, as we grow closer to you. God, help us to walk by faith in everything that we do, thanking you for what you've done and are doing and will do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you have children in Sunday school, they'll probably be getting dropped off in a couple minutes, or they'll be ready in a couple minutes, but shake someone's hands, greet somebody you haven't seen in a while or before. God bless you.